Minica had worried about, and then an anti-tamper system. Something which would fry the brain of the subject if anyone tried removing the implant ahead of time. I would also make sure that the hunters carried their own implants, equally difficult to remove. I'd arrange for the two types of implant, hunter and hunted, to emit some kind of coded signal which each recognized. And when the parties approached each other within some predefined radius, say a city block or less, I would arrange for both implants to inform their wearers of the proximity of the other, via the deep neural connections I had already sown. I would cut the voyeurs out of the loop completely, let them track the game in their own fashion, make the whole thing more private, and limit the number of hunters to a nice round number like one. That way, the whole thing would become infinitely more personal, and why limit the hunt to a mere 50 hours? In a city the size of this one, it struck me that the hunt could easily last 10 days, or longer, provided the target was allowed sufficient time to run and hide in the maze of the mulch. For that matter, I saw no reason to limit the arena of play to the mulch alone, or even to Chasm City. Why not every settlement on the planet, if they wanted a real challenge? Of course, there was no way they'd go for it. What they wanted was a quick kill, a night's blooding with as little expense, danger, and personal involvement as possible. "Okay," Dominica said, pressing a sterilized pad against the side of my head. "You're done now, Mr. Mirabel." She held the implant between two fingers, glinting like a tiny grey jewel. "And if this not hunt implant, then Dominica's skinniest woman in Chasm City." "You never know," I said. "Miracles do happen." "Not to Dominica." Then she helped me from the couch. I felt a little light-headed, but when I fingered the head wound it felt tiny and there were no signs of infection or scarring. "You know curious?" she asked, as I shrugged myself back into Vadim's coat, anxious for the anonymity it afforded despite the heat and humidity. "No curious, I mean, not curious, about what?" "I say I ask you questions about friend." "Ryvich? We've already covered that." She began packing away her thimbles. "No, Mr. Quirrenbach, other friend, the one you with yesterday." Actually, Mr. Quirrenbach and I were more acquaintances than friends. What was it anyway? "He pay me not to tell you this, good money, so I say nothing. But you rich man now, Mr. Mirabel, you make Mr. Quirrenbach seem poor. You get Dominica's drift?" "You're saying Quirrenbach bribed you into secrecy, but if I top his bribe, I can bribe you out of it." "You smart cookie, Mr. Mirabel. Dominica's operations, they no give you brain damage." Enthralled to hear it. With a long-suffering sigh, I reached into my pockets again and asked her to tell me what it was Quirrenbach had not wanted me to know. I was unsure exactly what it was I was expecting. Very little, perhaps, since my mind had not really had time to dwell on the idea that Quirrenbach had ever had something to hide. "He come in with you," Dominica said, "dressed like you, mendicant clothes. Ask for implants out." "Tell me something I don't know." Dominica smiled then, a salacious smile, and I knew that whatever it was she was about to inflict on me, she was going to enjoy it.
"He no have implants, Mr. Mirabel."
"What do you mean? I saw him on your couch. You were operating on him. You'd shaved his hair."
"He tell me make it look good. Dominica, she no ask questions. Just do what client says. Client always right. Especially when client pay good, like Mr. Quirrenbach. Client say fake surgery, shave hair, go through motion. But I never..."